This afternoon, if you will turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 3, we'll be looking at the first 10 verses. This afternoon, I want to draw your attention to the idea that both you and I need to learn how to try to establish and encourage one another in our faith. Establish and encourage one another in our faith. Now, that's not something that's necessarily easy, but I think that the Apostle Paul will give us good indications of how we can learn to do that in days to come. Let's bow together for prayer before we begin. Father, thank you for this time around your word. Thank you for your day, Lord God, the day of the Lord to us, the Sabbath day, the day of rest, but also of delight in your word and blessing as we gather around it. We pray that you would come and that you would instruct our minds and hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, I can set forth the truth, but only you can take that truth, dear Lord, and make inroads into the lives of each one here so that we will benefit by the truth and also then that we would learn to do what the Word shows us that we should do. So give us that kind of grace that we need to gird up the loins of our mind this afternoon and to receive this message. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before, when we were with you, that we would suffer tribulation, just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you, and our labor might be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you, and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith. For now we live, if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith. The context of the words that I've just read to you is that the Apostle Paul had been torn away from his beloved brethren at Thessalonica, and he was in great danger of being physically harmed if he remained at Thessalonica, and his persecutors pursued him even as far as Berea. When they heard that he was preaching the gospel to the people there, and there were a number of people who had believed the gospel, it was a great agony to Paul to think that there were those who were false and unloving people who claimed to be Christians, who were telling those who had been recently converted there that he did not really care for them. He didn't really care about their welfare, or he wouldn't have left them. These whisperers were probably telling the new converts that if Paul was really the great apostle of God, he wouldn't have left them in their time of persecution and difficulties. They were probably saying that he only cared about making converts and building churches, but this was not at all the truth. The truth was that Paul knew what they were experiencing. And he knew they were experiencing the feeling of orphans who had recently lost their parents. He knew that they felt that he had been taken away from them. Actually, he had only left them for a time to go on to Athens at the bidding of other brethren. He was not afraid of suffering for Christ. He told them that he had been endeavoring all the more eagerly to see their faces with great desire. He had planned to come to them more than once, but Satan had hindered him. Now in the providence of God, he had been led to Athens, and since he had come there, it was obvious to him that God had led him there to keep him there for a time. And therefore, he was not going to be able to go back to Thessalonica anytime soon. What was he to do? He could not endure the thought of leaving his spiritual children there at Thessalonica at the mercy of those who would deceive them. He was very concerned about their faith. And the question was, how could he establish and encourage their faith if he could not be there? That is the subject of this afternoon's study. When we find it impossible to personally be with those whom we know need their faith established and encouraged, there are still some things which God can help us to do to accomplish that holy goal which we have set out to achieve. It's not always an easy thing to be able to establish and encourage the faith of other believers whom we love in Christ. How could the Apostle Paul accomplish this goal of establishing and strengthening the faith of the Thessalonian believers even though he was not there? He could do it by his goal of taking the following actions. First of all, he could send Timothy to them in his place. Verses 1 and 2 and 5 and 6. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. This was a very wise and reasonable thing to do. If you cannot go yourself, then send someone else who is qualified in your place. If you cannot go yourself, why not think of someone who could do the very thing that you yourself intended to do? Timothy was not an apostle, but he was a minister of God, just as Paul was. And he could communicate everything of the Word of God to them that Paul would have done had he been there. And not only that, in sending him, Paul was sending one whom he highly valued and whom he esteemed in the work of the Lord. It's especially important in the work of the ministry that when the saints are suffering, that there is a pastor there to establish their faith and to encourage them. But it is also important to understand that the pastor is only one man. There may be times when, as much as he would like to be with one of the suffering sheep, that there is a legitimate reason that he cannot be there. It is important in any local church, therefore, that the pastor look about him and see if there might be someone who could, in the time when he cannot be there, that another person could. That person should be a person who is able to use the Word of God to comfort the afflicted with the promises of grace and to assure them that help would come to them from the Lord Himself. But someone who is able to be there with the afflicted, the disturbed, and the downcast is a very important part of the ministry. Timothy was perfect for this kind of ministry. What kind of qualities are requisite to be able to minister to people who are in this situation? Well, turn over with me to Philippians chapter 2, and you will find out what Timothy was like. Philippians chapter 2. Paul is here in chapter 2 exhorting the Philippians in verse 16 to hold fast the word of life so that he might rejoice in the day of Christ that he had not run in vain or labored in vain. He rejoices that he is being poured out in service for the Philippians. He says in verse 17, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may know of your state." So this is the verse that I want you to see, verse 20. "For I have no one who is like-minded, who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel." So Paul is spending himself, and he is being spent in the ministry of the gospel. And he cannot get around to see all of the churches at once. He must come at the time when the Lord permits him, but he can send Timothy. And the qualities that an apostle or a minister should be looking for in terms of those who could help minister to those in distress or difficulty or discouragement are found right here. The person who would join in the ministry of building up people should be a person who is like-minded with the one who has already been called into the ministry. He should not be one who is in opposition to the pastor of the church or trying to find fault with the pastor of the church. He should not be a person who is picking apart the pastor's sermons or trying to point out all of his faults. He should not be a person who is often disagreeing with the minister that he's trying to help in the ministry. He should be like-minded. The word in the original Greek is isopsychon, which means of a similar spirit. And Timothy would speak and act in much the same way as Paul would in every situation. He wouldn't be seeking to be different or distinct and to have his own thoughts on a subject of importance or a ministry independent of Paul's. They would work harmoniously together with each other. Timothy would know what Paul would want to do and accomplish with people in terms of both the doctrines preached and how they should be applied. Timothy was also sincerely concerned, it says, for the state of the Philippians. He was not a man who was more interested in communicating to people about himself than he was in thinking about the needs of the ones whom he came to minister to. Verse 21 confirms the unfortunate fact that there are many, many Christians who are only interested in seeking their own interests. And they are not interested in seeking Christ's interests. A person cannot be a helper in the ministry with this kind of attitude and pursuit of selfish interests. But Timothy, it says, had proven worth in this regard. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. You see, this is the character quality which shines forth in brilliance when it comes to men being qualified to help in the ministry or to actually become a pastor in the ministry. They will serve the pastor as a son does his father. It says here, willing to learn, willing to help, willing to watch and wait their time until this father in the faith says that they are ready, ready and willing to go where they would be sent. For how shall they preach unless they be sent or recognized by the local church? Now these are sterling qualities that should be looked for and recognized in our midst here. How blessed is the church. How blessed the ministry that has this kind of men in their midst. Certainly we can all learn and benefit from observing Timothy's way of helping Paul in the ministry. Paul sent Timothy to know of their faith, verse 5. And Timothy was able to be with them to see their faith, that Satan had not succeeded in turning their hearts away from the truth of the gospel or from the love of Paul himself. But Paul says, but now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always have good remembrance of us, greatly desiring to see us as we also to see you. Is that the way that you are with the brethren? Greatly desirous to see them, to see their faces, to know the state of their faith. What great news this was for Paul. What a great God we serve who establishes, it says here, such precious relationships between Christians that they can truly encourage one another. Ask yourself now, am I like-minded with my pastor? Am I willing to serve him as a son does a father? Am I trying to forward the ministry in every way that I can by having a supportive ministry to others who he cannot see or reach at a given time? These things are of great value for each of us to consider. Now, second, Paul can accomplish his goal of establishing and strengthening their faith by speaking to them of God's sovereign appointments. Verses 3, 4, and 7, Paul says to them in verse 3, no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you, we would suffer tribulation just as it happened. And you know, the trials, in other words, the tribulations, the afflictions of the Apostle Paul, all these that he had gone through and was going through, the trials and persecutions which had come upon the new believers in Thessalonica, he knew that these were something that was appointed by God for them. I wonder if you and I have come to this realization, and do we embrace it? It's very hard. It's a very hard truth for many modern day Christians living in this society to swallow. They fondly cherish the hope that they will never have to suffer either mentally or bodily for the gospel or for their stand for the truth of the Word of God. But let us take courage. Let your heart take courage from the words of the apostle this afternoon. He tells us that he was appointed to suffer, even as he took the blessed gospel into Thessalonica. He did suffer the wrath and persecution of men against him, and he endured by the power of Christ working strongly in him. But we do not find him deterred in any way from his goal, motivated by his love to Christ and to them, to establish their faith, even though he suffered for it, to learn to seek for joy in Christ and the joy of strengthening and encouraging the faith of others, even while you yourself are going through trials and tribulations. It is one of the greatest things you may ever be called to as a Christian. James chapter 1, verse 2 brings the truth of the matter right out in front of us who would live the Christian life. My brethren, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, usually we are accustomed to think, by fleshly thinking, that we are to sorrow and be discouraged and to think that we are lacking in everything when we suffer various trials. The holy attitude of joying and rejoicing in God anticipates all of God's appointments are good. Do you see that, brethren? In other words, whatever Christ is going to bring to us, or to you personally, is something that is appointed for you and for us as a church. It has been appointed unto you not only to believe, but also to suffer for His name's sake. Philippians 1:29. And so when you embrace by faith the idea that you as a Christian are appointed to trials, tribulations, and sufferings of various sorts in accordance with the appointment of God, then by Christ's grace you learn to anticipate them. Not by way of dread, but by the anticipation and with the anticipation of faith. In other words, that Christ is going to be with me in this. And my brethren will be with me in this as well, if they can. Now, this is what Paul had, and he was trying to communicate this holy attitude to them. He did not want their faith to be shaken, he said, as they saw him suffer afflictions. He wanted their faith to be strengthened. I like the New American Standard's rendering of Hebrews 13:7. It says, "Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith." And this is what Paul wanted them to do. He would teach them a different perspective from the world's. In Philippians 3:8, he says, "Yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Now you know that you are making progress in your faith when you see your sufferings for righteousness as a fellowship with the Savior. A fellowship with the Savior. If God appoints afflictions and crosses for you to bear, Paul is saying He will also appoint for you the comforts of seeing the faith of other believers strengthened. He says in verse 7, "Therefore, brethren, in all our affliction and distress, we were comforted concerning you by your faith." You can see how Paul had truly learned in his practical experience how to be more conformed to the image of Christ. He had suffered affliction and distress, but he was comforted in the outcome. Do you see that? He was comforted that their faith stood strong and that they did not walk away from Christ because of sufferings. They walked toward Him and with Him. This is the kind of appointment that God makes for you, dear believer, if you will receive it from His hands. Your appointment is to the testing of your faith, and part of the test is to see how you will react to the afflictions of those dear relatives and believers who have taught you the gospel. Will their faith during times of suffering lead you to desire to glorify God in the same way? Or will you turn away in fear and disgust? Paul's goal with his spiritual children at Thessalonica was to see their faith established. And these believers encouraged by his encouraging them even while he was suffering. This, I say, is learning Christ. And third, Paul would accomplish his goal of establishing and strengthening the faith of these believers by exhorting and praying for them, verses 8 to 10. For now we really live if you stand fast in the Lord. His exhortation to these believers is more of an appeal to them based upon what it would do to Paul and Silas and Timothy if they did not stand fast in their faith in the Lord through these afflictions and trials. It would be a real discouragement to their faith if these believers were shaken by their trials to the point of giving up following after Christ. So he tells them that they, the apostle and those with him, really lived when they heard good reports from Timothy of their faith. This is what a minister of the word and the gospel really lives for. You want to know what it is? It is to see strong faith in Christ in your life. Great joy in Christ, even when you are suffering for Christ. For what thanks can we render, he says to God, for you, for all the joy with which we rejoice for your sake before our God. Paul and Silas and Timothy rejoiced for their sake before God, and they were thankful that God was such a strong and mighty God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that He would give His great grace to young believers, tender believers, in order that they would persevere. Oh, glory to God that it is so. God and Christ do not despise you, dear believer, when you are weak. But that is exactly the time when they give grace. For when you are weak, Christ is strong with you. But Paul does not cease to pray for them when he sees the grace of God at work and some answers to his prayers. No, he says he was praying exceedingly night and day that he might still see their faces and perfect that which was lacking in their faith. And this ought to teach us that when we see great victories of faith in young believers, those whom we have taught the Word of God to, we ought not to let our guard down and think that we do not need to pray for them. No, we need to pray to God for them all the more, and even be able to tell them, if we are their pastor or teacher, that there are still things which they are lacking in their faith. We see this in other parts of this book. There were things about Christ's coming and resurrection from the dead that they did not understand rightly yet. There were some things about sanctification that they needed to learn and to grow up into. It was not as though they didn't have them in seed form, but just like the plant that grows from a seed, they needed to be fed the Word of God and watered with exhortations related to it so that they would grow up more into Christ and even beyond what they had. And so let me close this message to you this afternoon by saying that God has appointed the preaching of the Word of God to be one of the primary means of seeing your faith perfected and made complete. This is why I speak to you three times on the Lord's Day. It is when you often hear the Word preached to you and then you have the grace and sense to go out of this place intent on abiding in that Word and doing it. That is what will bring about the realization of the goal which Paul sought, the establishing and the encouraging of the faith of each and every believer in the local church. That is what all of us ought to desire, each of us in the body of Christ in relation to one another. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, and we pray that we would grow from simply reading the words of it, hearing the preaching concerning it. Oh Lord, we pray that as we see afflictions in the lives of ourselves and others around us, that it would help us in our faith to grow strong, that we would see it that way by way of anticipation of all that you will do for us and in us and with us. when we abide in you, Lord Jesus, in this holy way that we are speaking of. Help us, dear Lord, to be an encouragement, a comfort, and a strength to believers around us. Help us to be those who establish others in their faith. We pray that you will work these good things in the life of our congregation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's close by singing hymn number 212 together, an ascension hymn, a hymn of glory. Let us sing. Songs throughout the world shall ring. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Christ by a road before untrod ascendeth to the throne of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Apostolic band upon the Mount of Olives stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And with his followers they see Jesus resplendent majesty. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To whom the angels drawing nigh, why stand and gaze upon the sky? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Savior, thus they say, this is the noble triumph day. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Again shall ye behold him so, as ye today have seen him go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In glorious pomp ascending high, and now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. May the Lord go with you.